I already kind of heard some of Jeremiah. Yes, Jeremiah, because I'm not preaching today. It is not me. But before we get there, I do want to remind you of a couple different things. In your bulletin, you will find this, Bridge of Faith Core Values. Bridge of Faith Church aims to be a place where the Word of God directs our teachings and is applied to our daily lives so that we may become more like Christ. Where individuals can come together to share their lives, learn and grow, go closer to Christ, and serve in a safe and encouraging environment. Where every individual is valued and acknowledged because we are all made in the image of God. Where believers are encouraged to serve others and to share their faith. That's why we're here. It's based off of Ephesians 11 through 12, where we read these words, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. We have the opportunity to always encourage one another. And one of the most encouraging things is when a deacon comes up to me and says, hey, I see God's calling in this young man. Can I work with him for the next couple of months? And would you give him an opportunity to preach or to speak? Whatever verbiage you want to use. And I said, absolutely. So for the last couple of months, Calvin has been working with Keenan because Keenan has displayed a desire to possibly go into ministry one day. And one of the things that you need to be able to do if you're going into ministry is to rightly divide the word of truth. So this is his third time, I think, preaching. And so we're going to be an encouragement to him, but I'm not preaching today. He is. So come on up here, my brother and my son.
Didn't realize I was going to get quite a long intro this morning, but good morning, and I'm excited to speak to you guys about Jeremiah. Recently, Pastor has been going through the book of Deuteronomy, and Deuteronomy is all about the Old Testament law, and a lot of people think the Old Testament law has no application to the modern-day Christian, and what Pastor's been going through is how does the Old Testament law apply to the modern-day Christian, or principles for practical living, is what he's been calling his series. The point of the law in the Old Testament was twofold for the Israelites. It was one part of the covenant that God made with them. God was like, hey, I'm bringing you to this land. I'm going to bless you. Here are some conditions that you need to follow, and that's the law. But the greater part of the law was to align God's people's heart with his heart. God's like, I love life. I want you to also love life. I want you to respect the dignity of others because I respect the dignity of others. I want you to respect people's choices because I respect people's choices. It's about this lining of our hearts with God's heart. And that's how it applies to us. The Old Testament law shows us God's heart and the heart that we are to imitate. But why do we care? Why do we care if we imitate God's heart? What's the purpose behind that? Last week, Dad asked, do you show dignity to others? And after that, he asked, if the answer is no, why no? And we started shouting out different answers. It's because of pride. It's because we don't trust God enough. It's because of fear in our lives. And Dad's like, this is great, but that's just the fruit. What's the root? What's the heart of the matter? And that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to look in Jeremiah. This is a few hundred years after the law is given. Israelites are no longer following the law, and they have been unfaithful to God. And this is now the place that they are in. And then this is God's message to them and saying, hey, this is the reality of your situation, regardless of what you believe. And this is why it's important that you follow my law. So we're going to quickly pray, and then we'll jump into the text. God, thank you for this day, and thank you for your word that we get to hear and read and listen to, and that you move in our hearts to share these things with one another. And I pray that we would just honor and glorify you, that we would hear these words from your word and apply them to our lives and let them impact our hearts and to change and to align our hearts with you, because that's the goal of this. So I thank you for this day, and I thank you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen. So we are in Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 5 through 10, as it nicely says on the slide. This is where we're staying today. Jeremiah was a prophet of God. God called out Jeremiah and said, hey, you're going to speak for me. You're going to tell my people my case against them. And that's kind of the book of Jeremiah. There's some stories in there too, but it's mainly God's case against Israel. And God's case against Israel is, you've been unfaithful to me. I gave you the law you were supposed to follow. I gave you these standards. And what you did is that you committed idolatry with the nations around you and followed their gods. And now this is the situation that you're in. This is God's case against Israel. We're going to quickly read through the passage and then dive into it. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5. This is what the Lord says. Cursed are those who put their trust in mere humans, who rely on human strength and turn their hearts away from the Lord. They are like stunted shrubs in the desert with no hope for the future. They will live in the barren wilderness in an uninhabited, salty land. But blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. They are like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by the long months of drought. Their leaves stay green, and they never stop producing fruit. The human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? But I, the Lord, search all hearts and examine secret motives. I give all people their due rewards according to their actions and what they deserve. We're actually going to start at the end of this section. So we're going to start at verses 9 and 10. And the first thing that we read is, the human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? And that's a question to the reader. Who knows how bad the heart is? And verse 10 gives us this answer. But I, the Lord, search all hearts. Remember, this is God's message to Israel, to God's people. This is God's message to us. Your heart is the most deceitful of all things. Regardless if you want to believe this or not, your heart is the most deceitful of all things, and your heart is deceptive, and your heart is trying to deceive you. A deceitful heart does three things, and you see this in Israel. A deceitful heart forgets God. God gave Israel this covenant. And at the end of giving this covenant, God says, Israel, don't forget me. When you're in this land of plenty, don't forget me. When there's peace in the land, don't forget me. And what did Israel do? They went to this prosperous land and say, oh my goodness, look at this land that we conquered. A deceitful heart says, not God, but me. Not God, but me. A deceitful heart forgets God. When there was peace in the land, and Israel conquered their enemies, a deceitful heart says, not God, but me. Not God, but me. A deceitful heart forgets God. A deceitful heart then justifies itself for forgetting God. Because after the Israelites forgot God, they started looking out, and they saw other nations, and they had other gods. And they were like, we should also worship these gods. Look how great the other nations are. Let's worship their gods. And they justify themselves because you read in Isaiah chapter 1 that, guess what? They still gave God all the sacrifices he deserved. They still did all the festivals that they were supposed to do. They followed the law the boundaries that God set up without following the heart of the law. And God says, I hate that. I hate the worship you're giving me, because guess what? Your heart is far from me. But the Israelites looked at themselves like, hey, God, look, we're doing all right. Yes, I'm worshiping these other gods, but guess what? I'm still doing this and I'm doing that for you. I'm still sacrificing for you. So a deceitful heart justifies itself. And then lastly, a deceitful heart grows complacent. Eventually, you start forming these habits, and God becomes less and less important. And it just then becomes just the way it is. We just worship these idols. We just worship these gods. And then your kids grow up in that culture, and it's just the culture now. This is just the culture you're living in. This is just the way that we cope with things now. It's just always been this way. Why go upstream? Why fight the tide? Why work so hard for something that isn't worth it? And God's looking at them and is like, this is the way that you're thinking. And I'm telling you, it's not bringing you to a good place. It happens in our lives too. I feel like most of the time when we forget about God, it's either because things are going really well or we're really busy. Things are going really well in our lives and we're like, I don't need to put as much effort to God. Like, God, I am so thankful that like all these things are good in my life, but like I'm just cruising along. I don't really need you. I don't really need your comfort. I don't really need your peace. I don't really need your love, because I'm getting it in other places in my life, because life is good right now. And it's just easy just to keep on drifting along. Or we get so busy and we're like, oh my goodness, I'm just trying to survive right now. That's me in college right now. It's like, I have this thing due. I have this class to take. I have to make sure that I keep up with the relationships that I'm in and my family and my friends, and like, gotta make sure that we find a house and sign the lease and pay the bills and do your taxes, because taxes are important to do. And you're just so busy and overwhelmed by everything that's going on in your life. And it's like, I don't have time for God, and God's not the thing I need right now. You're so busy. We get so busy that we just forget God, and it's not necessary. I don't need God to get my taxes done. I don't need God to pass my classes. I don't need God to get good rest. I don't need God to be kind to others, because I'm so busy. I just don't need that right now. I don't need another thing. And so we forget God in our lives. And then we justify the things that we're now turning to, because guess what? Life becomes hard and life becomes rough. It's just the way life goes. Unexpected things happen. And then we turn to other things because we've forgotten God. We don't realize God exists. And now we're going to turn to other things. We turn to food. We turn to money. We turn to sex. We turn to relationships. We turn to anything else that we can, and we justify it. I'm still going to church, so it's fine that I'm doing this. I'm still reading my Bible, so it's okay that I'm also doing this well. I'm still praying to God, and it's okay because I can do this because I'm doing those things, those other things that my heart's not in. These aren't the things that I'm pursuing. These aren't the things I'm relying on, but it's okay. It's okay because these are my idols, and it's okay that I worship them because I'm doing these other simple tasks and boundary things that I need to be doing, that's expected of me to doing. And my heart's not in it though. My heart has turned away from God because I really forgot about him. I'm just doing these habits. And then we grow complacent. When rough times come, when you start feeling stressed, when life becomes hard, what do I turn to? I don't turn to God. I turn to a bag of potato chips. And I come home, I open up a bag of potato chips, and I just start eating them. Comfort food. It's so good. Comfort food. Love it. But no, that's not the thing you're supposed to be turning to. You're supposed to be turning to God. I turn to my money in buying happiness when I should be turning to God. This is what a deceitful heart does. And this is the state that Israel is in. Israel is in a state of which it has forgotten God. It's justifying its sin. And it's growing complacent. In verse 10, God says, but I, the Lord, search the heart and examine secret motives. I give people their due rewards according to what their actions deserve. The header for this section in my Bible is wisdom from the Lord. I know, it's like, it should be the header for every single section of the Bible, but I feel like it's appropriate in this section. Wisdom is just knowledge applied. And this is what God knows. Your heart is deceitful. This is the condition that you're in. regardless if you want to believe this or not, if you want to fight against this or not, this is your heart. This is where you're at. And this is where your life is going to be because of your choices. Because in the end of the day, it says, I give people their due rewards according to what their actions deserve. You can sit there and blame God for creating you this way and making these things the way they are. Sometimes I'm angry at God. I'm like, can't my sin just be enough? Can't my forgetfulness be enough? Can't my justifications be enough? Can't my complacency be enough? And God says, no, it's not enough. It's not enough. I'm the only thing that's enough. And I will give everyone their due reward for what they do. So we're just dealing with reality here. We're just dealing with reality here. This is what life is. We hop back to verse 5. This is what the Lord says. Cursed are those who put their trust in mere humans, who rely on human strength and turn their hearts away from God. Verses 5 through 8 is a comparison. Basically, the comparison is that you're trusting in man or you're trusting in God. And the first thing God says to them is cursed. Cursed. We normally think of cursed as some witch putting some like spell or hex on you, or like you're cursed because you did a bad thing, and now God's like, how dare you do that thing? Crush. And you bad things happen to you because of your sin and because of you did something wrong. No. No, that's not what this verse is talking about. It's not talking about you did something wrong, God's angry at you, so now you're being punished and bad things will happen. That's not the point. The point is, this is a bad idea. There's going to be no good thing coming from this. It's not that God's going to make everything awful in your life. He's not going to curse you. It is that you will be cursed because no good thing is going to be coming from this. It's like a parent looking at their child. If you ever had dealt with a teenager or a young adult that has gone with a struggle, whether it's alcohol or drugs or pornography or a bad relationship, and the parent can see how this is damaging their kid, and they will probably go to that kid and say, hey, I just want you to know this is a bad idea, and I can see how this is negatively affecting you. And that's what God is saying to Israel. You are cursed because of the choices that you're making. You are cursed because you're putting your trust in mere humans, because you were relying on human strength and you have turned your heart away from me. I'm not punishing you. I'm not trying to beat you down. I'm just trying to let you know that this is the reality, that you are cursed because of your choices. No good thing is going to come from this. So what is their state? What is their condition? Let's answer it in verse 6. They are like stunted shrubs in the desert with no hope for the future. They will live in a barren wilderness in an uninhabited, salty land. Verse 6 and verse 8 are also a comparison from each other. In verse 8, it says, they are like trees planted along a riverbank, and that's for the man who trusts God. Both of those words can be translated as junipers. But the juniper in verse 6 can be translated as dwarf juniper. Why does that matter? A dwarf juniper is so much smaller than a real juniper. I think a dwarf juniper is about 4 feet, and a fully grown juniper is supposed to reach like 20 feet tall or more. So a dwarf juniper is so much smaller than a real juniper. And the reason why is because of where the juniper is planted. I actually looked up, what does a juniper need to grow? And it needs 3 basic things. It needs water, and not a lot of water. Junipers are actually really hardy. They are really easy to grow, but they're also very slow growing. But they need water. Not a lot, but they need some. They need soil that easily drains water, because too much water will drown them and they will die. So they need soil that the water passes through quickly. but still needs water. And it needs actually quite a lot of sunlight. So where is the dwarf juniper? In the desert, which is good. Because desert, you have a lot of sun, which is neat, which it needs. It has soil that drains the water very quickly, in fact, too quickly, but it doesn't have water. So this dwarf juniper has like, okay, I need kind of these things. I'm going to kind of get the first two, and I'm going to forget about my water. And it's going to be fine. It's going to be okay. It's going to be good enough. That's the justification of our deceitful heart. We go into the desert, and we're like, this is just good enough. This is good enough for me. But God says, no, you're going to be a dwarf juniper. You're going to be a stunted shrub. And this isn't talking about physically you're going to be a stunted shrub. This isn't talking about, like, you go in the desert, you're going to be a stunted shrub. Or if you don't follow me in your life, you will never be rich. You will never be sometimes happy or content. No, God's not saying that. You can grow in the desert. You'll just be a dwarf juniper. And we're talking about our spiritual lives. Your spiritual life will be a dwarf juniper. And there's something unique about this dwarf juniper that's mentioned in the other, on the other tree. This doesn't have leaves. It doesn't have fruit. A tree doesn't produce leaves or fruit when it doesn't have enough. When it has enough, it will produce leaves. It will produce fruit. The reason why trees lose their leaves in the fall is because they're conserving their energy for the long winter, because they know they're not going to have enough if they keep their leaves. So this juniper, this dwarf juniper, doesn't have trees. It's a tree. It doesn't have leaves, and it doesn't have fruit because it doesn't have enough to survive with that. It can't do anything. So it has no hope in the future. It has no hope for the future because it's just going to die alone in this barren wasteland. And that's what happens in our spiritual lives when we decide to trust man, because this is how God created us. God's looking at Israel and saying, without me, you're like this dwarf juniper. You will never have enough. Your money will not fulfill you. Your idols will not fulfill you. Your other gods will not fulfill you. Your other sacrifices, which their sacrifices was sacrificing their own kids, will not fulfill you. It will never wash away the stain of your sin. It will never take away the stress in your life. It will never deal with the problems that you're facing. You will never have enough if you're trusting in man. It's not good enough. It's not good enough. And God's just saying, this is the reality. This is the knowledge that I'm trying to share with you. This is the truth. You are a shrub desert. You're a shrub in the desert. You're a dwarf juniper because you won't trust me. You won't have the peace in your life that God wants. You won't have the love in your life that God wants. You won't have the joy in your life that God wants. You won't have the contentment in your life that God wants you to have. We're going to move on to verse 7. Verse 7. But blessed are those who trust in the Lord, have made the Lord their hope and confidence. Just like the word curse, the word blessed isn't the idea that God's going to shower blessings on your life because of where you're at. This isn't a dwarf juniper that God decided to shower down with a rainstorm to help them grow or make a river appear to help it grow. That's not the idea. It's not like you're only this way. You only have joy in your life. You only have this good of a connection with God because God blessed your life. No, this is your choice. It's not God making an unfair call of blessing other people and calling them to him and rejecting these people, not calling them to him. That's not what this picture paints. This is that this juniper decided to plant itself by the riverbank. This man decided to trust in God, and so it's blessed. It's blessed because its trust is in God. It has its cornerstone on God. They have hope for the future, and they have confidence. Verse 8, they are like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by heat Worried by long months of drought, their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit because it has enough. It has more than enough. Even in the drought, even in those long months of drought, even in the hottest heat, it still produces fruit and leaves because it has enough. The man who trusts God will have more than enough during hard times. You know what? When it has proper water and proper rainfall, and it's not in a drought, it has more than enough. It has a bountiful supply of what it needs. The Christian, in a good time, when they decide not to forget God, but decide to continue to trust Him, will have more than they need. You'll have the peace that you need. You'll have the joy that you need. You'll have the contentment that you need. And you'll have the love that you need. But it isn't like life is just going to remain easy, because hard times come. This is not prosperity gospel. This isn't saying, follow God and everything in your life will be good and right. No, because the heat is coming. The drought is coming. It is coming and it will come. And during those hard times, you'll still have green leaves. You'll still have the fruit that you need. It doesn't mean it's not going to be hard, though. It doesn't mean that maybe you'll stop producing as much fruit as you were during bountiful times, but you'll have enough. You'll have enough of what you need. And this is also another way our heart tries to deceive us, is that we go through these hard times and we look to God and our deceitful heart says, this is what you need. This is what you need. And go ask God about it. Go ask God. Tell God, I need more money. I need just if I could make just a little bit more money at my job, it'd be good. Because right now things are tight and it's a hard time. Or it's like, if I could just have this stress taken out of my life, if you would just take it, that's what I need right now during this drought, during this hard time. And then God says no. And He's saying, no, that's actually not what you need. And our deceitful heart looks at it and says, well then, who cares about God? Because He's not giving me what I need. I tried relying on God, and that's not enough. But what God's looking at us and say, put your hope and confidence in me, that I know what I'm doing, that I know how to grow you. It might not seem like you have enough, but trust me, you will have enough during this hard time. I will give you the peace that you need. That doesn't mean that sometimes you won't feel overwhelmed. It doesn't mean that you won't feel stressed. But at the end of the day, you'll have the peace that you need. Have you ever talked to like old believers? I know. Like old believers, people who are like in their 70s or 80s that have been trusting God since their like 20s. Have you ever talked to them? Have you ever heard their stories? Have you ever heard their stories of, you know, this happened in my life, and this happened in my life, and this happened in your life, and you're just sitting there and you're like, oh my goodness, I never want to get old. It's like, life is so rough. Life is so difficult. And I know I've heard stories from a lot of you of like, there was this time in my life where I didn't have enough money, or I didn't have a job, or we lost a kid, or I had this struggle with my family or fight or something from my past came back up and now we have to deal with it. It's like all these hard, rough things, but it's so amazing talking to older people because they have such a perspective, because they sit down and look at you and like, but God was good. God was good at the end. God gave me more than I need. I didn't realize this is what I needed during that time. It was really hard. I thought I was like the dwarf juniper, not getting enough, getting what I needed. But guess what? God was faithful and He provided what I needed. I had more than I needed. And I didn't realize that. He was growing me in ways in which I didn't realize. I thought I was at the max, but God was like, no, there's another layer we can grow. And I was like, okay, and we grew that. And then it's like, this is as good as it can get. And God was like, no, there's another layer we can grow. And you're like, seriously, there's another layer we can grow? Which is really hard. Because have you ever like stretched and then like stretched and then like stretched? It's hard. It becomes harder on your body. It's hard to grow that much, but it's worth it. Because guess what? You get more leaves and you get more fruit in your life. And so God's like, no, there's another level to this. And you're like, what? There's another level to this? And that's why I love old people, because they're like a higher level. God has grown them so much. And when they have lived their life trusting in God, they're like, I had everything that I needed. I never thought I would get to this point. I never thought I would make it to this point in my life. I never realized that I would have this kind of peace, know this kind of love, have this kind of joy, know this kind of contentment in my life, but I can because I trusted in God through those rough times. Even the times where my heart says, forget about God, he's not gonna give you what you need. When I turned to other things, other coping mechanisms, and I justified it saying, God, my sin is enough for me. God still fought for me then. And even when I grew complacent in my life, when my deceptive heart was winning, God was like, no, this is the truth. Because this is what this passage is about. I love this passage because Israel right now is completely turned away from God. And God's like, I will fight for you. I will fight for you. I'm going to send Jeremiah, my messenger, to tell you my message. Hey, you will no longer forget me because I am standing before you. You will no longer be able to justify because I am telling you the truth. And I'm going to punish you so you're no longer complacent, so you have a fire underneath you to encourage you to come back to me to help you grow. That's what God does in this passage, and it's so beautiful. And this is what he does in our life because he's a loving father who cares about us. That's why he gave us his word. That's why the Old Testament law and the scriptures are so important. Because that is God ripping the blind off of our eyes, saying, you will no longer forget me because I am here in front of you. I have given you my spirit. If you are my child, you will no longer forget me because I will always be with you. I will always be with you. And I have sealed you for eternity, and no one can stop that. You will no longer be able to justify your sin because I've given you my spirit, I've given you my word, and I've given you pastors and preachers and families and wives and husbands and children to remind you of who I am. And it's so amazing. And even when we grow complacent, God's still fighting for us because he doesn't want them to be a shrub. He doesn't want them to be this juniper dying in the desert. He wants them to be this lovely juniper with more than enough, more than it could ever have imagined it being. He wants you to know his great love for you. He wants you to know his peace, even during the hard times, even when your deceptive hearts are fighting against you and fighting against him, he's still gonna be there fighting for you. In the end of the day, our God reigns. At the end of the day, our God reigns. And so the application of this verse, this section, is ask God to search your heart. Where are you at with God? I'm not going to ask you to search your heart because you can't do that. You can't do that. Who really knows how bad it is? I, the Lord. That's the answer. I, the Lord, knows. So ask God to search your heart and make changes in your life so you're no longer this juniper living in the desert, instead this juniper living by the river. And that takes time, takes effort. Junipers grow slowly, and so do we. This isn't an overnight transformation, it's a journey. It's about taking one step closer to God every single day. Do not look back at yesterday and say, is my relationship better with God today than yesterday? Do not look back a week ago and say, is my relationship with God better than it was a week ago? Because if you do that, it's going to be up and down all the time. Go 6 months saying, am I in a better place than I was 6 months ago? Am I no longer struggling as much as I used to? Look back that far. If I looked back when I first became a believer at 6 years old, I am so much better than I am nowadays, because 6-year-old me, 12-year-old me, was all about what are the regulations and boundaries I need to follow to worship and please God. And now that I've grown up, I've realized Is my heart pleasing God? Is my heart loving others? Is my heart humble before the Lord? Am I humbling myself to God? And I'm looking back and I say, you know what? I have grown. I am better than I was 14 years ago. It takes time. We are slow growing. And so, what are you going to choose? That's the question. That's the question. That's what I'm going to leave you with today. What are you going to choose? Are you trusting God? Are you trusting man? Is God going to be your foundation? Is man going to be your foundation? Who are you trusting in? Because you're going to have to choose. You can't deceive yourself. You can't deceive God. One day, God's going to ask an account for everything you do, and he will look at you and say, you trusted man. Or he will look at you and say, you trusted God. You trusted me. He will not say, well, you were kind of two-thirds of the way to me and one-third to yourself. That's not what it's going to be. God's going to look at you and say, you trusted man or you trusted me. So what are you going to choose? We'll pray. God, thank you for your word that convicts us and moves us and guides us, that your word is a symbol of how you fight for us and how you want us to please you and to live for you because of your great love for us. You created us knowing what we needed, and the thing that we need is you. I pray that you would move in the hearts of those who have heard this and listened to this, and that they would realize the things that they've been deceiving themselves about, the ways that they've been forgetting about you, the ways that we've been justifying ourselves, the way that we've grown complacent. And I pray that we would stop doing that by slowly growing towards you every day, because we know we can do it with you. We know that you are more than able because you are great. We love you, Father, and we thank you for everything you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen.